You may at times find yourself in relationships that are laced with conflict. Although you may enjoy the passion and drama these relationships generate, over time they will inevitably make you feel older and depleted. It is essential that you transform toxic relationships into nourishing ones. The most empowering way to transform a relationship is to change the way you view the other person. Every relationship is a mirror that can show you some aspect of yourself. Try this simple exercise that can be helpful in revealing the hidden meaning in a difficult relationship. Write down as many traits as you can think of that describe the person with whom you are having problems. Now look again at each descriptive word and see which ones create an emotional charge in you. For example, you may have described your manager as controlling, argumentative, needy, uncompromising, unappreciative, stubborn. As you review your list, you may see traits that really irritate you. Now look at yourself. Are these words that others might use to describe you? More often than not, the traits that bother you the most in another person are the ones you try hardest to deny in yourself. As you embrace these darker qualities in your own heart, you may find yourself less inclined to judge someone else. As you relinquish your judgment, you may open to the possibility that there are other qualities that may be attractive in the person, which you have not allowed yourself to see. Relationships thrive when both parties feel their needs are being met and struggle when they are not. Not getting your needs met leads to stress, toxic emotions, and toxic relationships. Learning to express your needs and emotions in a healthy way fosters nourishing relationships and reverses aging. As infants, we expect our caregivers to fulfill our needs, even if we don't know what they are. We carry these same desires into adulthood and become hurt, frustrated, angry, or depressed when our lovers, friends, or associates are unable to immediately figure out what we need and give it to us. This is not an approach that is likely to be successful. The humanistic psychologist Abraham Maslow described 5 basic needs that drive us all. First, we have basic physiological needs, such as food, water, and protection against extreme heat or cold. Once these needs are met, we are motivated by the need for safety and security. We all want to feel protected from physical and emotional harm. The third need is social. The need for community, friendship, love, and belonging. As these needs are met, we have the need for self-esteem. At this level, achievement, respect, recognition, and status are sought. The final need is to find meaning, beauty, and wisdom in life. Maslow called this final step self-actualization. In Eastern traditions, this is the state of enlightenment. Self-actualized people are accepting, spontaneous, natural, and simple. They are dedicated to a life of meaning and creativity. They are as comfortable alone as they are in intimate personal relationships. They are playful and laugh easily. They know how to meet their needs. In his book, Nonviolent Communication, Marshall Rosenberg describes a simple process to enhance the chances of getting your needs met. Whenever your needs are not met and you become upset, first ask yourself, what am I observing? Rather than saying to the other person, you're always late to every date, say, we agreed to meet at noon and you did not arrive until 12:30 p.m. Separate your judgments and evaluation from your observations and you will be less likely to trigger defensiveness. The second step is to identify what you're feeling. Develop a rich emotional vocabulary that does not make you a victim. Avoid words that require someone else to be there for you to experience your emotions, such as ignored, rejected, neglected, abandoned, or abused. You are empowered when you say you feel alarmed, annoyed, exhausted, frightened, lonely, outraged, or sad. But you give away your power when you use the vocabulary of the victim. The third step is to determine what you actually need from the situation. If you cannot be clear, it's very unlikely that the other person is in a better position to figure it out. The fourth step is to formulate a specific request. Rather than demanding, "You need to spend more time with me," rephrase it in the form of a request. "Are you willing to come home an hour earlier from work Wednesday afternoon so we can take a walk together?" People are much more likely to respond to a request than a demand. We would add a fifth step to Dr. Rosenberg's original four. Whether your request is met or not, ask yourself, what is the gift in this situation? What can you learn from this circumstance about yourself and life? What is the lesson that can raise you to a higher level of awareness? Find the gift, even if it is not the one you originally anticipated. Make the commitment to communicate your needs consciously, and you will waste a lot less energy in conflict. Accept your differences as a cause of celebration, rather than finding it necessary to make the other person wrong. Most people spend a good portion of their life on the job. So ideally, work should afford the opportunity to express your creativity, to interact meaningfully with your co-workers, and to provide the material security you seek. Unfortunately, many people find their workplace to be a source of stress rather than fulfillment, and consequently, aging is accelerated rather than reversed. The world would be a better place if we could all do what made us happy, while expressing our unique talents in service to others and ourselves. According to Ayurveda, this is the state of living in dharma, or fulfilling your purpose in life. Even if you're not able to earn a living doing exactly what you like doing best, see if you can bring some aliveness to your workplace. Try connecting more openly with your co-workers so your work environment is emotionally healthier. Observe your environment and see if you can improve the sounds, sights, and smells that surround you. Look for opportunities to align your work with your values, needs, and beliefs. Life is precious, and you have the right to perform work that is meaningful. A test to see if you are in your dharma is to notice how often you look at the time. If time is creeping by and you cannot wait to get off work, you are probably not in a position that is fully expressing your purpose in life. If, on the other hand, you find that time flies, it is a good clue that this work is the type that can help you grow younger. Listen to the signals that your body and mind are communicating and commit to spending your day creating greater fulfillment for yourself and those in your life. The field of energy, information, and intelligence, commonly known as the skin, is your largest and most adaptable organ. As the boundary zone between your inner and outer worlds, the skin protects your tissues, cells, and molecules from the onslaught of microorganisms, temperature extremes, ultraviolet and infrared radiation, and chemical pollutants present in your environment. It constantly monitors stimuli from your surroundings through its innumerable touch, temperature, and pain receptors, and sends this information to your brain on a moment-to-moment basis. Your soft, pliant skin has the remarkable ability to differentiate itself into the long strands of your hair or your flat, hard nails by rearranging its collagen molecules. It is the site of vitamin D activation, crucial for maintaining strong bones. The skin contains sweat glands, oil glands, fat cells, nerve fibers, immune cells, and miles of blood vessels, and is essential in your regulation of body temperature and hydration. The skin is literally your face to the world. Following a few basic skincare principles can reverse the appearance of aging. There are three important steps you must take as part of an age-reversing skincare program. 1. Purify. 2. Revitalize. And 3. Replenish. Your skin reflects the purity of your entire body. The principles of a healthy diet, nutritional supplementation and detoxification will pay their rewards in the quality of your skin. In addition to generally healthy lifestyle choices, you must carefully clean your skin once or twice a day to remove local toxins that block your skin pores and predispose you to infections. It is generally best to avoid soaps that contain harsh detergents. Ayurveda recommends the use of herbal cleansing powders that remove toxins and excessive oils while re-establishing acid-base balance. An easily mixed formula that you can make at home includes equal parts of dried chickpea flour, dry milk powder, nutmeg, lemon peel, and ground coriander. Use about half a teaspoon with water to make a paste and gently apply it to your moistened face. As it begins to dry, rinse off the powder. If you wish to experiment with traditional Ayurvedic cleansing herbs, try adding neem, manjistha, or sandalwood powder. A basic principle regarding the cleansing product is not to use anything on your skin that you wouldn't be comfortable putting into your stomach. Moist herbalized steam treatments are also helpful in opening clogged pores and releasing toxins. Once a week, treat yourself to a facial steam bath to which you add a few drops of essential oil. Lavender, juniper, rosemary, bergamot, or sage all have purifying effects on the body. The second step to reverse the appearance of aging is skin revitalization. Stimulating the collagen fibers that support the skin can improve its tone and appearance. Many modern skincare products contain natural acids that stimulate the cells that produce collagen, such as glycolic acid, azelaic acid, and lactic acid. Skincare products with these acids in higher concentration will cause some peeling and should be used under the supervision of a skilled skincare specialist. Milder revitalizing treatments can be applied at home using readily available natural products. Yogurt, lemon juice, and grapefruit juice can have a mild stimulating effect. Fresh yogurt can be applied directly to your skin and left on for 5 minutes before rinsing. Dilute lemon juice or grapefruit juice with an equal part of aloe vera juice and apply it to the skin. Leave on for 2 minutes and then rinse. If your skin is oily, you can do this every day. If your skin tends to be dry or reactive, dilute the solution further and use every second or third day. After cleansing and revitalizing, the skin needs to be replenished. Use a pure vegetable or nut oil to which a few drops of an essential flower or herb oil has been added. Try mixing almond, jojoba, avocado or sunflower oil with rose, lavender, sandalwood, jasmine, geranium or lemon essential oils. Apply a small amount and allow it to be absorbed naturally. Use more if your skin is on the dry side. Always use sunscreen when you are outdoors. Ultraviolet radiation leads to collagen damage, wrinkling, and skin cancer. Prevention is much better than cure, so be aware of the potentially damaging effects of sun on your skin. Teach your children to use sunscreen to prevent unnecessary skin problems later in their lives. Every day, in every way, I am increasing my mental and physical capacity. My biostat is set at a healthy 49 years of age. I look and feel a healthy 49 years old. I am reversing my biological age by changing my perception of my body, its aging and time. Through two kinds of deep rest, restful awareness and restful sleep. By nurturing my body through healthy foods. By using nutritional complements wisely. By enhancing mind-body integration, through exercise, and by eliminating toxins from my life. Daily action step number 8. I am reversing my biological age by cultivating flexibility and creativity in my consciousness. I put flexibility into practice by 1. Learning to let go when things don't seem to go my way. 2. Practicing the wisdom of uncertainty, not being attached to outcome and letting go of the need to control. 3. Learning to forgive by relinquishing grievances, resentments, and regrets. I put creativity into practice by 1. Learning the 9-step creative response. 2. Applying the creative response to all the challenges and or problems in my life. 3. Helping others to solve their problems by teaching them the creative response. Aging is associated with rigidity and decay. Youth is associated with flexibility and creativity. Both flexibility and creativity are learned behaviors. By cultivating flexibility and creativity in consciousness, you renew yourself in every moment and reverse the aging process. An ancient Vedic aphorism says, "Infinite flexibility and creativity are the secrets to immortality." When we consider growing older, we usually think of becoming less flexible and creative. Our language of aging reflects this view. We use expressions like, "You can't teach an old dog new tricks," or "I'm too old to change," or "He's just too set in his ways." In both modern and Vedic sciences, the loss of flexibility and creativity is a result of increasing inertia, entropy, and disorder in the body-mind system. According to Vedic theory, there are 3 fundamental forces at work in the universe: sattva, rajas, and tamas. Sattva is the force of creativity, evolution, and transformation. Tamas is the force of stability, resistance, and inertia. Rajas is the tension between the forces of creativity and inertia. As children and adolescents, we have a preponderance of natural sattva. Our brains and our behavior reflect our tremendous capability to expand, adapt, transform, and evolve, and our willingness and desire to experience and learn new things. As adults, we see the rise of rajas. This is a result of the everyday stresses of life and our attachment to outcomes as we seek to prove ourselves in the world. As we age, we become increasingly concerned about security and stability, and tamas begins to predominate. Stability leads to stagnation, stagnation leads to decay, decay leads to disorder and entropy, and ultimately to death. Death is the soul's response to the loss of flexibility. When your physiology has lost the flexibility and creativity to further integrate the energy and information of your life experiences, the soul goes into incubation. According to Vedic wisdom, when the soul needs to digest the experiences of a lifetime, it first incubates and then takes a quantum leap into a new context and a new body-mind. In Eastern wisdom traditions, this is the process of reincarnation, incarnating into a new life experience. Rather than waiting for death to take a quantum leap into a new life experience, why not take the quantum leap while you're alive? This way you can literally reincarnate on an ongoing basis. This requires learning 2 basic and fundamental behavior patterns. 1. Flexibility, which comes from letting go. And 2. Creativity, which involves intention, incubation, and incarnation. By learning to incorporate flexibility and creativity as your evolving behavioral pattern, you will master on a daily basis what most people have to literally die for, to incarnate and create a new body-mind. Let's explore these 2 qualities that are the foundation of eternal youth. The essence of flexibility is the willingness to let go. Surveys of centenarians often ask, "What do you believe are the reasons that account for your long and healthy life? Is it your diet? Have you been exercising your whole life? Have you avoided tobacco? Do you drink alcohol?" The intent of these questions, of course, is to identify common principles that could help us all live longer, healthier lives. Surprisingly, the most common explanation that our most senior citizens offer for their long life is their ability to let go. Long-living people have flexibility and resiliency when facing the inevitable challenges in life. If you live to be 100 years old, chances are good you have experienced challenges and losses. Yet these super seniors have been able to move through adversity and get on with their lives. They relinquish their hold on experiences that do not serve them. They let go and move on. From an Ayurvedic perspective, this ability to deal with what is happening but not incur residual damage is a symptom of strong digestive power known in Sanskrit as Agni. The expression digestive power is applied not just to the ability to digest foods, but to digest all experiences in life. Agni is the root of the English word ignite, referring to the power of fire to metabolize things. A strong Agni enables you to digest what life presents without carrying unprocessed residues which inhibit your ability to fully embrace life. A strong digestive power is an essential feature of people who live long, vital lives. Learning to let go is necessary because life is a process of continual change and transformation. Attempting to stop change by holding on is fighting the natural force of evolution. Ultimately, nature will have its way, and your struggle against the river of life will exact its toll on your physiology. The wear and tear born of resistance accelerates aging. Relinquishing your resistance and embracing change reverses aging. Learning to let go does not mean relinquishing your intentions. Your intentions and desires orchestrate the course of your life and catalyze the experiences you need to evolve to higher levels of awareness. Flexibility does, however, require letting go of your attachment to a specific outcome. You cannot control the outcome of a situation, and holding rigidly to your idea about how things should be leads to strain, stress, and aging. Bear in mind the following expression, which we heard from a spiritual teacher. When things don't seem to go my way, I let go of my attachment to how I think they should be, trusting that I'm not seeing the big picture. If I knew the big picture, I would understand that there is a reason for things unfolding the way they are, and that the cosmos has a plan for me much grander than anything I have conceived. Letting go and detaching from outcome is the essence of genuine power and offers the only real possibility of security. Detachment from a particular outcome implies a willingness to step into the unknown. This is the real meaning of flexibility. Attachment to the known is attachment to the past. The past is stability. The past is inertia, the past is stagnation. Attachment to the known, attachment to the past, accelerates aging. Most people spend their entire lives seeking security through their attachments. Attachments are usually to positions and possessions. Because these attachments rarely bring security or happiness, people often believe their problem is that they need greater positions or more possessions. If I just had more money, if I just had a better job, then I would feel secure and happy. Money, positions, possession cannot substitute for real security, which can only come from within. Paradoxically, finding genuine and lasting security comes from surrendering to the wisdom of uncertainty. It means cultivating an inner attitude of curiosity and acceptance. Relinquishing your resistance and embracing change reverses aging. The Buddhists have an expression, "Nothing should be clung to as me or mine." Nothing you identify with can really be called yours. Although you may consider the physical vehicle you inhabit as your body, you know by now that every atom comprising it is only on temporary loan from your environment. Your thoughts are not really your thoughts. They are part of the collective mind. 100 years ago, you could not have had the thought, I am flying on a 747 jet to Las Vegas, because these concepts were not yet a part of the collective mind. Your emotions are not your emotions. Every emotion you have ever had has been experienced by people since the beginning of humanity. Not a single molecule, not a single thought, not a single emotion you have ever had is uniquely yours. You're part of a larger scheme. You are woven from a few strands in the infinite cosmic web of energy, transformation and intelligence. Nothing should be clung to as me or mine. Underlying this prescription is the recognition that all stress in life results from either grasping or aversion. When you hold on to anything, be it a material object, a position or a relationship, you accelerate aging because at a subtle level, every attachment is accompanied by fear. Fear of loss, fear of losing control, fear of losing approval. When you evoke fear, you set into motion the physiology of stress that accelerates biological aging. You must let go of this fear in order to reverse aging. The inclination of the mind is to seek pleasure and run away from pain. As a result of this tendency, you are unable to remain in the present moment. You can cultivate present moment awareness through the practice of alert witnessing, shifting your attention from that which is observed to the silent, ever-present witness to the observation. In the midst of observation, come back to the self. Your observations change on a moment-to-moment basis. If you identify who you are with your observations, your identity has no permanence. If you identify yourself as the president of a company, as the owner of a luxury car, as the manager of an artist or musician, your sense of self is dependent upon an external source. This is sometimes known as agency power because your power derives from attachment to an external agency. The problem with agency power is that when the attachment ends, so does the power and your sense of self. The opposite of agency power is self-power, which comes from your inner connection to spirit. Underlying all your observations and experiences in life, underlying all your attachments to people, situations and circumstances, is a domain of ever-present witnessing awareness. This is your true self, this is your spirit. In alert witnessing, you shift your attention from goal orientation to process orientation. You become completely flexible. When spirit is your internal reference point, you neither anticipate nor resist. You simply allow. This process can be summed up in one statement. Take it as it comes. The process becomes the goal. Whenever you find yourself anticipating or resisting, shift your attention to your witnessing self. In the simple process, you return to the present moment. The present moment is the doorway to the field of infinite possibilities. Living in present moment awareness reverses the aging process. The great Vedic scholar Eknath Ishwaran tells a poignant story. At the end of a lifetime, a person's soul goes to a plane of existence where each life is reviewed. The soul enters a theater in which a movie of the recent life is playing. The soul begins watching the movie, but often has to turn away because sins of omission and sins of commission cramp the heart. As a result of not being able to watch the complete movie, important life lessons are missed, and the soul must reincarnate to learn them in the next lifetime. According to this story, the primary cause for not being able to watch the painful scenes is a lack of forgiveness, for others and for oneself. Forgiveness is the essence of letting go. Try this simple exercise. Close your eyes, bring your attention into your heart, and ask if you are holding on to any grievances, hostilities, resentments, or regrets. If any come to mind, ask what occurred that led to the blockage in your heart. Then ask what needs to occur now in order to release these toxins. Look for the gift that every life experience offers, even painful ones, and express your gratitude for the experience. Remember this beautiful expression from A Course in Miracles and refer to it often. Every decision I make is a choice between a grievance and a miracle. We encourage you to choose a miracle. When things do not go the way you think they should, you could indulge in self-pity. You could complain and gripe that life isn't fair and make yourself and everyone around you miserable. Or you could see the situation as another opportunity for surrender, flexibility, and expansion. Forgive and forget, and you will reverse the aging process. It's easy to become trapped in habitual patterns that do not serve you well and promote inflexibility. Therefore, it is very helpful to consciously cultivate flexibility by relinquishing things in your life and creating new patterns of thinking and behavior. Practicing flexibility creates flexibility in your nervous system by challenging your brain cells to make new associations. In your willingness to try new things, your neural networks become more flexible and open to new perceptions, interpretations, and choices, which in turn support new interneuronal connections. Here are a few suggestions of things you can do to break out of your habitual behavioral patterns. Try them for a week and observe what happens to your body and mind. Change your diet. Change your exercise program. Change your route to work. Wear new colors. Listen to different kinds of music. Wear your watch on the other wrist. Try a new restaurant. Call a friend you haven't spoken to in years. Read a book that you usually wouldn't consider. Take a new class. Learn to access the most flexible domain of your being, the field of timeless awareness underlying your mind and body. This realm of flexibility is the basis of growing younger. Immerse yourself in this field of infinite flexibility on a daily basis through meditation. Once you have cultivated flexibility, you are ready for creativity. According to Amit Goswami, author of Quantum Creativity, creativity is a discontinuous, non-algorithmic quantum jump from one pattern of thinking into a completely new one. It is a quantum leap, a paradigm shift, from one pattern to another without progressing through incremental steps in between. All the great creative advances in the worlds of art, music, architecture, or science represent new leaps of imagination that could not have been predicted on the basis of the prevailing patterns. Once the creative leap is made, be it Einstein's theory of relativity, Picasso's cubism, or music by the Beatles, the world is forever changed. You are by nature a creative being. As a child, you had a rich imagination, which is the source of all creativity. Your youthful flexibility and present moment awareness allowed for new perceptions and interpretations on an ongoing basis. You were capable of creating entire worlds with your imagination. Today, the very fact that you are alive is evidence of your creativity, for you are co-creating your reality every moment. Learn to reawaken your creative response, and you will recapture the energy and enthusiasm of youth. Creativity is the process of taking the raw energy, information, and material of the universe and transforming it into something that has never been created before. Whether you're creating an original work of art, a new piece of music, a unique software program, or a healing response to an illness, creativity requires a leap in awareness. If you're improving on something that already exists, that is innovation. Creativity brings something into existence that has never been here before. There are 9 basic steps to the creative response. Become conscious of these steps and use the creative response whenever you are facing an issue or challenge in your life. You have unlimited creative potential that can be used to solve any problem you're facing. The first step of the creative response is to have a clear intended outcome. You must have a clear vision of what it is that you want to have unfold. State your intended outcome in clear, positive language. Rather than saying, "I want to leave this dreadful job," state your intention as, "I have a position that enables me to express my full potential." Write down your intentions and review them regularly to be certain that they reflect your current desires. Although living in a state of flexibility implies not being attached to a particular outcome, it is still essential that you have unambiguous intentions. Formulate a clear intention and be detached from the outcome. The second step is information gathering. In this stage, learn everything that is available about the issue you are facing. Become an expert on the challenge that confronts you. Read books, do research, use the internet, explore spiritual literature, go to lectures, participate in workshops, speak with friends and family. Gather information from every possible source. Pay attention to the sensations in your body as you learn what others have to say about your issue, noting which approaches feel comfortable for you and which feel uncomfortable. As you gather information, your mind will digest what you are learning, formatting the information in ways that are useful to you. This process of information reshuffling takes place on both conscious and subconscious levels. The fourth step is incubation. You allow your awareness to settle into a more expanded state of consciousness through meditation. Incubation is the stage of surrender. Having formed your intention, gathered and reshuffled the information, the next step is to go beyond the rational mind and access a deeper domain of awareness to orchestrate the fulfillment of your intention. Review your intention for a few moments before you begin meditation and then let go. Letting go allows for something entirely new to arise in your awareness, something that you had not conceived of before. When the conditions are right, you will experience the fifth step, which is insight. Insight results from the rearranging of the previous relationships and meanings into an entirely new context, which then allows for an entirely new interpretation. Insight is the creative leap. Your perception and interpretation of the issue completely shifts. This new inner vision is the essence of the creative response. It precipitates from a domain of awareness that is non-local. The process of meditation allows you to enter into this non-local domain that exists for eternity in the gaps between your thoughts. When you are able to gain access to this deeper domain, something unprecedented emerges. This is insight. When the insight occurs, it spontaneously generates inspiration. The level of enthusiasm that wells up when insight dawns is a good barometer that the insight is a real creative leap. When you really see things in a new light, your entire mind-body becomes energized. You know in your mind that your insight is true, and you feel in your body that the insight is right. Passion, exhilaration, excitement, joy, and enthusiasm are all signs that the insight that arose while you were incubating will solve your problem and fulfill your intention. It is now your task to take steps 7, 8, and 9 and translate the insight into action. Now that you know what is necessary to fulfill your intention, do it. Make the change, take the step, and implement the action to actualize the creative response. Integrate the change into your life. As you integrate and implement the insight into your thinking and behavior, you incarnate it in your body. It becomes a part of you, and as a result, you are a new person. You have taken a creative leap and have become a new body-mind. As an example of how this might work on a personal level, Consider a woman who is in constant turmoil because her spouse is not meeting her expectations. In her mind, he spends too much time with friends and colleagues. As a result of her distress and anxiety, she has been eating more, gaining weight, and losing her self-esteem. She decides to apply this 9-step creative process by first formulating her intention, which is to feel secure, appreciated, and loved. She makes the commitment to read several popular books on relationships and is exposed to a number of new perspectives. She learns meditation. During a particularly deep sitting, she has the insight that she has really been missing her friends, and her resentment stems from her husband's experiencing something that she would like for herself. She becomes inspired by the idea and makes plans to visit an old college roommate in another town. She so enjoys the few days that her entire attitude about her life completely shifts. She begins exercising and eating better, and all her relationships, including her marriage, improve. By setting up the conditions that allowed her to experience a creative quantum leap, she was able to access life energy that was previously unavailable to her. This ability to experience new creative solutions to old problems is the essence of flexibility and a key component of reversing the aging process. Use the 9-step process every time you perceive a problem or a challenge in your life. When you see every problem as an opportunity to practice the creative response, you will look forward to and be excited by the challenges in your life. Help others to solve their problems by teaching them the creative response. Flexibility and creativity are the keys to evolutionary progress. Even in Darwinian terms, those who are able to adapt survive. Every evolutionary jump is a quantum leap in creativity. When you cultivate flexibility and practice the creative response, you will notice how much younger, more flexible, and more adaptable you become. Every day, in every way, I'm increasing my mental and physical capacity. My biostat is set at a healthy 49 years of age. I look and feel a healthy 49 years old. I am reversing my biological age by changing my perception of my body, its aging, and time, through two kinds of deep rest, restful awareness and restful sleep, by nurturing my body through healthy foods, by using nutritional complements wisely, by enhancing mind-body integration, through exercise, by eliminating toxins from my life, and by cultivating flexibility and creativity in consciousness. Daily action step number 9. I am reversing my biological age by making love the most important thing in my life. I put this into practice by 1. Listening attentively and without interruption. 2. Expressing my appreciation to at least one person every day in an honest and sincere manner. 3. Consciously engaging in loving touch with those close to me and becoming aware of my sexual energy in all its different expressions. Love heals. Love renews. Love makes you feel safe. Love brings you closer to God. Love conquers all fear. Love makes you young. Love reverses the aging process. You can reverse your biological age through love. Love is the essence of life. For human beings, love is as essential as food and water, and without it, we cannot survive. Love is not just a psychological experience. Love transforms biology. Scientific studies show that by merely observing acts of compassion, your immunity is enhanced. David McClelland of Harvard University found that college students increased their production of salivary antibodies when watching a film of Mother Teresa comforting a child, whereas their antibody levels are depressed when watching war scenes. David Spiegel's studies from Stanford University have taught us that women facing metastatic cancer who participate in caring support groups live on average twice as long as those who do not. We know that men suffering heart attacks who believe that their wives love them do better than those who don't, and a simple monthly phone call from a caring cardiac nurse can double the survival time of a heart patient. Even studies with animals have found that tenderness and affection can reduce their risk for disease. Love is metabolized into physiology and can make the difference between health and sickness, life and death. These scientific reports do not surprise most of us. We have all known the exuberance and vitality that we experience when we feel loved. Most of us also know the anguish and despair that comes from separation and rejection. People suffering from the loss of love have changes in the chemistry of their brains that influence every cell in their body. These changes substantially increase their risk for a wide range of illnesses, from cancer to heart disease. Similarly, the exhilaration, enthusiasm, and comfort generated by love create life-affirming transformations. Love makes us feel good because it creates the biology of delight, joy, and safety. Love is healing. Love is nourishing. Love is good for us. Love transforms biology. Knowing that love transforms our physiology, we are ready to address a fundamental question. What is love? Poets, philosophers, and songwriters, since time immemorial, have waxed eloquent on this perennial subject. For most people, love is an emotion, a sentiment, a feeling that can consume your thoughts and molecules. Falling in love is an altered state of consciousness in which your perceptions, interpretations, and choices are transformed. When you are in love, you become carefree and open to new experiences. You become vulnerable and invincible at the same time. Love detaches you from your usual mundane and trivial concerns and opens your awareness to the magic and mystery of life. Love reminds you that you are alive. Love inspires you to do great things. Through the power of love, you tap into your primordial energies and become a mythical being. Lovers aspire to epic undertakings to demonstrate the power of their love. Love connects you with archetypal lovers. Every culture tells its love stories. From Cupid and Psyche to Rama and Sita to Romeo and Juliet to Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn, these romantic stories reenact the hell of separation and the heaven of reunion that human beings experience through love. These perennial love stories are the keys that open the door to universal love. The great spiritual traditions from every culture inform us that unity is the ultimate truth of all existence. The one undivided spirit partitions itself into infinite beings. Once having fragmented, however, the parts are driven by fundamental forces to re-establish unity. Atoms endeavor to become molecules. Celestial bodies seek to join solar systems. Human beings strive to merge with their beloved. Love at its essence is the quest for spirit and the longing for communion. The need to fulfill that longing resonates deep in our personal and collective memory. Through all the striving to find fullness outside ourselves, we know at some preconscious level that the only true source of love is the infinite, unbounded ocean of spirit within our own being. The more in touch with spirit we are, the more loving we feel and behave. Most people are not directly in tune with their spiritual essence. Therefore, nature, in her compassion for human beings, has provided the opportunity for us to fall in love with each other. This provides us a glimpse of the transformational power of spirit. Personal love provides us with a taste of universal love. But despite how grand we feel when we are in love, it is not enough. We are eternally driven to experience the ultimate reunion with spirit. When you recognize that love and spirit are the same, you will see your longing for love as a hunger for more awareness, more communion, more connection with the universal intelligence that underlies the world. Make a commitment to see every act of love as an expression of spirit. Helping a stranger change a flat tire, bringing a spouse flowers, volunteering at a hospital, each of these acts is both personal and spiritual. They bring you greater joy by helping expand your concept of who you are. Every act of love loosens the shackle of ego imprisonment. Every act of love gives you a taste of spirit and brings you a step closer to integrating the timeless into time-bound existence. Love creates the experience of present moment eternity, and the more we experience eternity, the younger we grow. The deeper we tap into and express our core, which is spirit, the more loving and liberated we feel. All lessons in life are lessons in love. Living a spiritual life means seeking out love in every situation. Make love the most important thing in your life, and you will grow younger and live longer. Love is spirit in motion. Love moving from one heart to another generates the biology that reverses aging. You can express your love for another person in three basic ways. You listen attentively to what they are saying. You express in words or actions your appreciation for them. You touch them lovingly with affection. Each of these demonstrations of love happens spontaneously when you fall in love. Look at any couple smitten with love. They hang on each other's every word. They wax poetic about the things they find attractive and exceptional in each other. They express their appreciation through objects of love, from flowers to jewelry to homemade cookies. Finally, they cannot keep their hands off each other. Whether you are in the first stages of a new romance, have been in a committed relationship for years, or are visiting an old friend from college, consciously practice these principles of love. Sexual energy is the primal creative energy of the universe, and all things that are alive arise from sexual energy. In animals and other life forms, sexual energy expresses itself exclusively as biological creativity. Animals beget more animals. In human beings, sexual energy can be channeled into creativity at all levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In any situation that makes you feel attraction, arousal, alertness, passion, interest, inspiration, excitement, creativity, or enthusiasm, sexual energy is at work. All these different manifestations of sexual energy express themselves in your physical body as sensations. The common thread in each of these experiences is a feeling of expansion. At times, the expansive feeling may be so strong that you feel you're bursting out of your skin. You are filled with energy. The medical term for this state of fullness is tumescence. Although it is usually applied to states of sexual arousal, it can also characterize these other expressions of excitement and passion. Learn to get in touch with these sensations and recognize their various expressions in your body. This is the essence of sexual energy, which expresses itself in many different forms. Learn to recognize this powerful life force in all its manifestations. Even as you go about your daily life, pay attention to these experiences of intense aliveness. They may be evoked by someone to whom you are intensely attracted, by a spectacular splash of color in the sky at sunset, or by seeing the beautiful, loving hands of your grandmother. Be aware of the empowering energy that is available to you as a passionate lover of life. Nurture these sensations with your attention until you feel a bubbling exuberance in every cell of your body. The more you look for and recognize these sensations in your body, the more your sensory experience will be one of heightened awareness, and the more you will experience a simple, unaffected appreciation and gratitude for the whole of creation. This is the essence of a spiritual life. Despite what you may have been conditioned to believe, sexual desire is sacred and virtuous. it is the suppression of sexual energy that is artificial, unnatural, and contrived. For many people, the experience of sexual intimacy is their first glimpse into the experience of spirituality. When you and your beloved merge physically and emotionally, you go beyond the boundaries of the ego. In this state of union, you experience timelessness, naturalness, playfulness, and defenselessness. These are qualities of spirit when it is not constrained by control, fear, or separation. Cultivating this state of natural openness and self-assured vulnerability in all relationships is the essence of a spiritual life. Sexual energy is available to us at all ages. Being open to sexual energy reverses aging. Although many people have the impression that sexual energy diminishes as we age, studies have shown that the vast majority of both men and women are sexually active through their 60s, 70s, and beyond. About 90% of married men and women in their 60s and over 80% of men and women in their 70s are sexually active and find it enjoyable. Sexuality is a feature of intimate loving relationships throughout adult life. There are physiological changes associated with aging that, looked at from one angle, can be viewed as a loss, but from another perspective can be seen as an opportunity. Some men in their 60s and 70s take longer to become physically aroused. Some women need help compensating for tissue dryness that is associated with diminished estrogen production. These issues can be easily addressed, investing the time and attention to create physical, emotional, and spiritual intimacy can often result in the most fulfilling sexual experiences of a person's life. To improve your sexual experiences, you need to divest yourself of your expectations. Expectations are usually in three areas. 1. Performance, as exemplified by the question, "How am I doing?" 2. Emotions, as exemplified by the question, "How am I feeling?" And 3. Security, as exemplified by the question, "Do you really love me?" These are understandable concerns when exploring intimacy with your partner. They also provide a unique opportunity to express your vulnerabilities and create more intimacy. Ask for what you need and give to your lover what he or she needs. Openness, vulnerability, the willingness to give, and the readiness to receive are all qualities of spirit. When you relinquish your expectations, you are able to release your resistance. Your resistance keeps you from enjoying what is happening. In sex, as in all areas of life, resistance is born of fear. All resistance is mental and derives from a judgment against what is being felt. Practice releasing your judgments and releasing your expectations, and you will experience the passion and surrender that sex offers. The concentrated passion of sexual lovemaking then permeates all other aspects of your life. If you find that sex is mixed with hidden emotions such as shame, guilt, or anger, commit to releasing these toxic and inhibiting feelings. Sexual intimacy is one road to the experience of true freedom because it is one area of life in which you can become completely uninhibited and free. Sexual fulfillment occurs when the experience comes from playfulness instead of need. When sex is used to fulfill needs, it leads to addiction. When sex comes from playfulness, the result is ecstasy. Sex is most enjoyable and creates the greatest amount of love and intimacy when it is viewed as a process rather than as a goal. Western society is dominated by a goal-oriented worldview. This attitude plays itself out in our lovemaking, where we've learned to prize sexual climax as the sole target of physical intimacy. Although every lover relishes the pleasure of orgasm, The ancient wisdom traditions of India and China suggest that playing with sexual energy and extending the process of lovemaking expands the heart, mind, and spirit while intensely enriching physical delight. Known as Tantra in India and the Tao of sex in traditional Chinese culture, the basic principles for conscious lovemaking include ritual, communication, and finesse. If you view sex as a sacred act, you will understand the value of ritual. Take the time to prepare yourself for lovemaking as if you were journeying to a realm of celestial pleasure. Bathe yourself and prepare your body and mind for the sharing of your most personal gifts. Set the lovemaking scene with attention to all the senses. Read inspiring love poems to your partner. Play beautiful music. Wear sensual clothing. Employ subtle lighting and diffuse pleasing aromas in the room. Look into your lover's eyes and silently or aloud acknowledge the gift of engaging intimately with your partner. You have the ability to channel creative sexual energy to expand your heart and raise your consciousness. You can use rituals to focus your attention and intention. Transforming an exchange between two people from an act of pure biology to one of body, mind, and spirit generates passion, vitality, and ecstasy. Communicate your feelings and needs to your partner before, during, and after sex. Express what brings you pleasure and what you need to feel safe, adored, and aroused. Reorient your intention from simply releasing sexual pressure to celebrating the process. Prolonging the act of lovemaking has energy-enhancing effects on mind and body. Inform your partner when you're about to climax and slow down the tempo to expand and prolong the pleasure. Lovemaking is a dance of body, mind, and soul that can continue 24 hours a day in physical, emotional, and spiritual domains. Sexual ecstasy is nourished through your willingness to be vulnerable, asking for what you need to fulfill your deepest desires and fantasies requires your willingness to be vulnerable. Through this vulnerability, the boundaries between I and thou and between body and soul become blurred. This is the essence of a spiritual experience and the promise of conscious lovemaking. Like meditation, lovemaking is a domain where force, effort, and control fail to result in success and fulfillment. Subtlety, timing, and finesse are the essence of rapturous lovemaking. The blossoming of sexual bliss requires total attention in the present moment and openness to creativity. Sex can be a tool for personal transformation when you listen to the signals from your body and the body of your lover and use them to surrender and release your resistance and fear. Lovemaking provides access to personal, collective, and universal domains of awareness. True intimacy is union between flesh and flesh, between heart and heart, between soul and soul. When we have restored the sexual experience to the realm of the sacred, our world becomes divine, holy, and healed. You may have been using the mantra Ojas in your daily ritual to perceive your body as a field of energy, transformation, and intelligence. This subtle substance is nourishing to your physical, emotional, and spiritual bodies. It provides the integrating essence that unifies all aspects of your being. According to Ayurveda, we are born with a small reserve of Ojas that can be augmented or depleted as a result of nourishing or toxic experiences. Healthy food, loving emotions, nurturing sensory impressions, rejuvenating herbs, and creative use of sexual energy all contribute to more abundant Ojas. Ojas reminds every cell in the body of its primary directive to support the wholeness of the mind-body network. It also strengthens your natural immunity. When Ojas is depleted, you become susceptible to degenerative disorders, including cancer. Therefore, protecting and increasing your supply of ojas is key to reversing the aging process. Ojas can be depleted by excessive release of reproductive fluid. This is important in men and forms the basis of the idea that as you age, reducing the frequency of ejaculation can improve your vitality. This suggestion is not based upon morality. Rather, it is an expression of the conservation of energy. As a general principle, if you are male, see if you can increase the ratio of sexual experiences to ejaculation. If you are accustomed to releasing sexual tension every time you have sex, see if you can go to an every other time pattern. Then try going to every third time. Although at first you may feel some sense of frustration, you will most likely quickly begin to appreciate the enhanced energy and passion that you feel throughout the day. If you are a woman, play with your partner to keep his sexual energy aroused without immediately releasing it. When lovers consciously direct their powerful sexual energy, they become more attractive to each other. All aspects of lovemaking, in and outside of its sexual expression, become more ecstatic. According to Ayurveda, there are special foods and herbs that have distinctive ojas-enhancing effects. Fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, nuts, particularly almonds, honey and dairy derived from well-cared-for cows are all enhancing to ojas. Substances depleting ojas include alcohol, tobacco, canned foods, highly processed foods, fried foods, and those containing artificial sweeteners. Make your healthier choices without being overly compulsive or rigid. Compulsivity and rigidity deplete ojas. Simply be more conscious of your choices so that, to the extent possible, you increase the ojas in your life. There are many classical rejuvenative herbs from healing systems around the world that can be considered ojas-enhancing. Ginseng from the Chinese and Korean systems is the most popular herb in the world and has been classically used to augment sexual potency. Scientific studies have suggested that ginseng can enhance sexual appetite and erectile function in both animals and men. It can enhance your general sense of well-being and vitality. Ginseng is available in many forms, including capsules, teas, and even chewing gum. Ayurveda has an entire branch of medicine dedicated to maintaining and regaining optimal reproductive tissue. Known as Vajikarana, these herbs are sometimes referred to as aphrodisiacs. Although you most likely think of an aphrodisiac as something that arouses sexual desires, according to Ayurveda, these aphrodisiac herbs also improve your reproductive essence. In other words, they enhance ojas. The three most commonly recommended ojas-enhancing substances in Ayurveda are ashwagandha, shatavari, and amalaki. Ashwagandha, Vicenia somnifera. Sometimes known as winter cherry, this potently fragrant herb has long been known as the primary masculine rejuvenating substance. Its Sanskrit name means smelling like a stallion, implying that it infuses the user with the power of a horse. Although its long-standing reputation is as a sexual potency herb, most research has focused on its stress-reducing and immune-enhancing properties. A recent experiment with animals found that ashwagandha influences the pituitary chemicals that regulate sex hormones. Ayurveda recommends taking a teaspoon of ashwagandha in warm milk sweetened with honey or brown sugar before bedtime. This is highly encouraged on days when the man has ejaculated with the intention of helping to replenish lost ojas. It is equally valuable for women to enliven their passion and sexual ardor. Ashwagandha is now readily available from a number of herbal distributors in the West. Shatavari, Asparagus racemosus. this wild form of asparagus is considered to be the feminine equivalent of ashwagandha in that it supports the nurturing, receptive, creative feminine energy that both men and women possess. Not known for understatement, Ayurveda gives this nourishing plant the Sanskrit name Shatavari, which can be translated as capable of supporting 100 husbands. It is a classic tonic with several indications, including relief of premenstrual symptoms, enhancement of milk flow in breastfeeding mothers, and the smoothing of the transition through menopause. Scientific studies on Shatavari have been limited to date, primarily looking into its traditional role in relieving stomach upset and improving lactation. Considering its long-standing history of value in strengthening a woman's physiology, Shatavari is worthy of further scientific exploration. Although most commonly recommended for women, Shatavari is also considered a valuable tonic for men. Like ashwagandha, it is usually taken in hot milk, sweetened with honey or raw sugar. The combination of Shatavari and ashwagandha, 1 teaspoon of each, in a cup of hot milk with a pinch of saffron and a little honey or brown sugar makes an excellent tonic for both men and women and is a traditional ojas restorer. Amalaki, Amblica officinalis. This powerful little fruit is one of nature's most abundant sources of antioxidants. Ounce per ounce, amlaki juice carries 20 times the vitamin C content of orange juice. Amlaki is considered the most powerful general Ayurvedic tonic, beneficial for both men and women. Scientific research on amlaki has shown it to have measurable health-enhancing properties, including the detoxification of carcinogens, protection of DNA, lowering of cholesterol levels, and relief of heartburn. Amlaki-based herbal jams are becoming increasingly available in the West. We recommend a teaspoon or two each day as a natural, general, ojas-enhancing tonic. Love serves the soul. We learn our life lessons and awaken our memory of wholeness through love. Our lives are a river of relationships and meaning. Each of us is continuously reenacting one of the perennial themes of love, trust and betrayal, unrequited love and forbidden lust, unconditional love and calculating neediness. From Adam and Eve to Judas and Jesus, the most powerful stories we tell each other across time and culture are love stories. Love is the primal force on earth, and behind every action is love. Striving for good grades in school, doing well in a job, creating a great work of art, winning the Nobel Prize. If you dig deeply enough, you will see that all these stories are love stories in disguise. The only reason we do anything is for more love, although we may go to considerable lengths to conceal our true motivations. Our discussion of love leads to a simple conclusion. For the benefit of your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being, generate more love in your life. In every interaction, ensure that some exchange of love takes place. Whether it is chatting with your landscaper, paying for your groceries, talking with your children, or being intimate with your beloved, come from an inner dialogue of love. When you make love the most important thing in your life, your mind and body resonate with the timeless. Every day, in every way, I am increasing my mental and physical capacity. My biostat is set at a healthy 49 years of age. I look and feel a healthy 49 years old. I am reversing my biological age by changing my perception of my body, its aging and time, through two kinds of deep rest, restful awareness and restful sleep, by nurturing my body through healthy foods, by using nutritional complements wisely, by enhancing mind-body integration, through exercise, by eliminating toxins from my life, by cultivating flexibility and creativity in consciousness, and through love. Daily action step number 10. I am reversing my biological age by maintaining a youthful mind. I put this into practice by 1. Enriching my sensory experience within and without. 2. Devoting myself to lifelong learning and personal growth. And 3. Enjoying play, lightheartedness, and laughter. The body is a field of molecules. The mind is a field of ideas. Wherever a thought goes, a molecule goes. Fresh and youthful thoughts create fresh and youthful molecules. Psychological age influences biological age. The 10th step to grow younger and live longer is to maintain a youthful mind. The mind is not a thing as the body is. The body is a field of molecules. You can touch it. It is solid. Even though it is constantly and ever in change and transformation, it has the appearance of a fixed object. We can examine the body and measure its biological markers in a fairly precise, objective way. The mind is a field of ideas. Ideas cannot be put in a test tube or observed through a microscope. They cannot be examined in the traditional objective sense. Ideas can only be experienced subjectively. According to Ayurveda, the body is a field of information and energy that we experience objectively, and the mind is the same field of information and energy that we experience subjectively. There is a correlation between subjectivity and objectivity. Wherever a thought goes, a molecule goes. Spiritual traditions say that the Word was made into flesh. In reality, the Word and the flesh are the same thing, much as physics tells us that particles and waves are the same thing. The body is a collection of particles. The mind is a collection of waves. They are the same thing experienced differently, depending on your method of observation, objective or subjective. Many studies have confirmed that biological age correlates better with psychological age than chronological age. If you are young at heart, your biological markers are likely to reflect a young heart, literally. When your heart is being attacked through hostility or lack of love, you might indeed suffer a heart attack. It therefore becomes important to understand what creates a youthful mind, because a youthful mind is likely to translate into a youthful body. All the factors we have discussed are, of course, very important. However, if your mind is old, your body will reflect it even if you practice everything that we have suggested so far. A youthful mind is a mind that is constantly growing. As the popular saying goes, people don't grow old. When they stop growing, they become old. Neuroscientists are learning that the brain is an extraordinarily dynamic organ that is continuously reshaping itself. The electrical, magnetic, and chemical fields of your brain are in perpetual flux, reflecting your moment-to-moment changing experiences. Even the anatomy of your brain is being resculpted. Microscopic tendrils connecting one neuron with another are extending and retracting. The cells themselves are coming and going. The long-standing belief that adults never generate new brain cells has been overturned. Recently, researchers at Princeton University have found evidence that thousands of fresh brain cells are born every day. Attend to keeping your mind fresh and youthful, and you will keep your brain and your body fresh and youthful. A youthful mind is dynamic, vibrant, and curious. That is what we all desire. An alert, vibrant mind, along with strong physical vitality. As a result of your commitment to the other steps in this program, you have set the stage for this ideal state. With all the other key components in place, it is essential that you keep your mind active and expanding so you can enjoy the fruits of the life-affirming choices you've made and the life wisdom you have accumulated. A youthful mind is an enthusiastic mind. The word enthusiasm comes from the Greek word entheos, meaning filled with the divine. A mind that is infused with the creative intelligence of the cosmos is a youthful mind. It is overflowing with energy. The universe is born in you every moment, and a mind that resonates with this energy sees the world with the wide-eyed enthusiasm of a child. Follow the advice of Lord Shiva, who encourages you to step out of the river of memory and conditioning and see the world as if for the first time. A youthful mind is a beginner's mind. It is enthusiastic about everything: a butterfly, a rainbow, the stars at night, a cotton-tail rabbit, a new book, a fragrant rose, a fresh strawberry. Stay alert to the amazing display that is taking place around you. Pay attention to the remarkable dance of nature that is ever fresh and new. Energized alertness is the basis of enthusiasm. Enthusiasm reverses aging. A youthful mind is spontaneous, awake to all possibilities, and is not inhibited by established norms. You have spontaneous impulses inside of you right now. Right now, as you're listening to this, do something spontaneous. Kiss your spouse, call your mother, start singing. Be spontaneous. Of course, it is not possible to practice spontaneity, but you can be alert to nurturing the spontaneous impulses that are bubbling up inside of you. A youthful mind is fluid and adaptable. It does not allow itself to be trapped by boundaries that overshadow the unity of all things. It naturally sees the interrelatedness of life, and therefore is able to flow with changing situations and circumstances without resistance. Be adaptable. Don't allow yourself to get trapped into viewing things from a narrow, limited perspective. Practice seeing the big picture. At the level of quantum reality, the universe is not made up of things. It is comprised of oscillating fields of energy. The quantum domain is spontaneous. It is inherently unpredictable, resisting all efforts to define it precisely. In the quantum domain, everything is interrelated. The quantum realm has unlimited energy, unlimited unpredictability, and unlimited interconnectedness. Another way of saying this is that the quantum realm is enthusiastic, spontaneous, and fluid. These are the qualities of the cosmic mind that every moment gives rise to a fresh universe. These are the qualities of a youthful mind that every moment gives rise to a new body. An aged mind is oblivious to the sensory delights that are available internally and externally. You can create a youthful, exuberant mind by heightening your state of sensory awareness. Pay attention to your environment. Feed your senses delectable, interesting, awe-inspiring impulses. Don't take your world for granted. Listen to beautiful, interesting, different music from around the world. Listen to the sounds of nature: birds singing, the wind blowing through the leaves, rain beating on your roof. Feel the texture of things. Dig your hands into the earth. Stroke your pet. Look at your world with fresh eyes. Look at the many shades of green that nature paints. Watch the clouds manifest and dissolve. Really look at the faces of the people in your life. Taste things as if for the first time. Bite into a tart apple. Savor the flavor of freshly baked cherry pie. Taste your lover with a passionate kiss. Drink a freshly squeezed glass of orange juice. Delight your taste buds. Notice the aromas in your environment. Breathe in the fragrances of your garden. Sniff the smells of dinner. Inhale the scents of your loved one. Notice how closely smells are linked with your memories and emotions. The energy and information of the world is translated into subtle sensory impulses that are experienced on the screen of your consciousness. These inner impulses are known in Ayurveda as tanmatras. We can think of them as mental quanta, the subjective equivalent to the subtlest units of matter in the physical world. Awakening the tanmatras through active imagination creates a youthful mind. You can develop your subtle senses by imagining multisensory experiences. Start with the following and then create your own visualizations to exercise your imagination. Imagine you're walking along the beach on a tropical island. You feel the warm sun on your body. You hear the ocean waves lapping at the shore and the call of seagulls. You smell the faint waft of your coconut suntan lotion. Nurture the enthusiasm that comes with heightened awareness of the sounds, sensations, sights, tastes and smells in your outer and inner worlds. Pay attention to the gifts your senses bring you. A youthful mind is a growing mind. It is dedicated to continual expansion and learning. A youthful mind thrives on new experiences. Make a commitment to learn throughout your life. Here are just a few suggestions to keep your mind growing. Read the classics, novels, Shakespeare, poetry, spiritual literature. Try genres you do not usually choose. Take classes at your local college. Learn a foreign language. Take piano lessons. Learn to dance. Take art classes. Go to workshops on love, on human potential, on success, on spirituality, on health. Take horseback riding lessons. Visit new places. Travel to foreign lands. Go to concerts. Relinquish rigid ideas about who you are and challenge yourself with new experiences and new perspectives. Don't be afraid to question prevailing beliefs, including your own. Learn something new every day. As you continue stimulating your mind to grow, your brain will continue creating new connections. A youthful mind is playful and lighthearted. It laughs easily, genuinely, and with abandon. You can probably recall times from your childhood when you giggled so hard you could barely stand or walk. Playfulness and joy are qualities of spirit which is inherently lighthearted. Knowing itself as eternal and unbounded, spirit does not surrender its magic and enthusiasm for trivial concerns. Play and recreation go hand in hand. Play is literally an opportunity for recreation, an opportunity to recreate yourself. When you play with abandon, you enter into the present moment, you let go of the past and forget about the future. When you are playing, you lose track of time. The timeless domain of play is the realm of spirit. Spirit is innately playful. The ego, on the other hand, is serious. It is solely concerned with power, control, and approval. Whatever arrogance or self-importance people may project, if they are dominated by their ego, their underlying experience is one of fear. Fear of losing control. Fear of losing power. Fear of losing approval. This fear leads to seriousness and the tendency to be easily offended. When you shift your internal reference point from ego to spirit, you relinquish your need to control and manipulate and simply allow the universe and life to unfold. This creates a natural state of ease which predisposes you to lightheartedness and laughter. Laughter is the best medicine for body and mind. Scientific studies have shown that laughter can enliven the immune system, raise pain thresholds, and ease depression. We encourage you to lighten up and be open to the wonder and delight of living a human life. Remind yourself, remind your friends, and remind your loved ones not to allow terminal seriousness to consume the life force. Spend time with children. watch funny movies, rent rollerblades, play board games, go to an ice cream shop, play miniature golf, go to an amusement park, make up lists of fun and playful things to do. The timeless domain of play is the realm of spirit. Spirit is innately playful. According to Vedic science, the purpose of life is the expansion of happiness. Laughter is a symptom of spirituality. Laughter is the flow of love coursing through your body. Laughter is the nectar of present moment awareness. One of our favorite playful and light-hearted cosmic revelers is the 14th century mystic Hafiz, whose poems have been translated recently by Daniel Ledinsky. Hafiz invites us all to join in the cosmic dance. What is laughter? What is this precious love and laughter budding in our hearts? It is the glorious sound of a soul waking up. Play and enjoy. It will keep you young in body, mind, and soul. Every day, in every way, I'm increasing my mental and physical capacity. My biostat is set at a healthy 49 years of age. I look and feel a healthy 49 years old. I'm reversing my biological age by changing my perception of my body, its aging, and time. Through two kinds of deep rest, restful awareness and restful sleep. By nurturing my body through healthy foods. By using nutritional complements wisely. By enhancing mind-body integration. Through exercise. By eliminating toxins from my life. By cultivating flexibility and creativity in consciousness. Through love. And by maintaining a youthful mind. In James Hilton's classic 1933 work, Lost Horizon, the central character, Hugh Conway, unexpectedly finds himself in a remote Tibetan land called Shangri-La. He soon discovers that the inhabitants of this domain are playing by a different set of rules, for sickness, aging, and death are rare phenomena. The High Lama of the monastery, for example, informs Conway that as a result of secret anti-aging practices, he has been alive for more than 250 years. Soon after arriving, Conway finds himself attracted to Lo Sen, an enchanting 19-year-old Chinese girl who plays music each evening for the resident monks. He eventually learns that the girl longs to escape from Shangri-La. Despite her comfortable existence in paradise, she yearns for the experience of contrast that Shangri-La, with its absence of suffering, aging, and death, cannot provide. Conway, his younger associate, and Lo Sen leave Shangri-La on a treacherous journey back to civilization. We do not learn their fate until the epilogue, when it is revealed that Conway has been brought to a mission hospital in China by an old, frail woman who immediately succumbs to a feverish illness. Leaving Shangri-La has unmasked the woman's real age, which is over 100 years old. We are left only to imagine the ultimate destiny of Hugh Conway. As long as human beings have existed, we have dreamt of lands like Shangri-La. And yet Shangri-La is not a place. It is a state of consciousness in which one lives in a timeless reality, where all material things are experienced as endless transformations of energy and intelligence, where suffering, aging, entropy, and even death do not exist. While such a place may at first seem desirable, the story of Shangri-La reminds us that as human beings we require contrast, meaning, and purpose for our lives to be worth living. According to Ayurveda, human lifespan depends upon our collective consciousness. In Vedic mythology, human consciousness goes through 4 cycles, known in Sanskrit as yugas. In each yuga, the lifespan of human beings changes. In the first cycle, known as Sat Yuga, 75% of people are living enlightened lives and therefore most people live a very long time. If we are to believe the Old Testament, people, as exemplified by Methuselah, can live to 1,000 years of age in Satyuga. The second yuga is called Dwarpa Yuga. In this age, about 50% of people are in a higher state of consciousness. In Dwarpa Yuga, the average lifespan is purported to be about 500 years. The third cycle of time is called Treta Yuga. In this age, 25% of people are in higher states of consciousness, and the average lifespan is supposed to be 250 years. Finally, we come to the fourth cycle, known as Kala Yuga, in which only a handful of people are experiencing higher states of consciousness. According to Ayurveda, this is our current age. But even in Kala Yuga, the average lifespan is supposed to be 100 years, so most human beings are not even reaching their full potential in Kala Yuga. This stage is sometimes referred to as the age of darkness because people are experiencing such a small fraction of their vast mental and physical potential. Critics may dismiss these theories as part of mythology, but as Joseph Campbell, the distinguished explorer of mythology, once said, "Mythology contains more truth than history." Mythology expresses the greatest aspirations, desires, and ambitions of the collective imagination. The time may be coming when we can fulfill these aspirations. The theory of collective consciousness states that if just 1% of people were experiencing higher states of consciousness, there would be a completely different expression of society. Everything would change. The crime rate would plummet, hospital admissions would fall, and people would live healthier and longer lives. After billions of years of evolution, life is beginning to divulge its innermost secrets. Biological intelligence carried in the genetic code has created a human being that is now capable of exploring its own origins. Modern scientists, unraveling the human genome, are deciphering the alphabet of life. We all hope that with this new technology, we will better understand and intervene in illness and aging. Technology itself is neutral. It is neither inherently good or bad. How we use technology is a reflection of our collective consciousness. As the science of genetics evolves, we may be able to substantially extend life and ensure that more and more people are able to live out their full potential. It is critical that we raise our awareness so we can collectively make choices that are most evolutionary for individuals, the human species, and the global ecology. Jonas Salk, the great biologist and developer of the first polio vaccine, expressed the brilliant insight that if we are to survive as a species, we must move beyond the Darwinian concept of survival of the fittest to a new paradigm, survival of the wisest. The principles and practices offered in this audiobook are dedicated to such a high purpose. The cycle of life is one of continuous transformation. Adaptation leads to stability, which eventually results in stagnation, entropy, disintegration, dissolution, and incubation, commonly perceived of as death. While the cycle will continue, we believe that as the next few decades unfold, we will see a new era in which human aging will have a completely new expression. As you have learned, it is possible to have increased vitality, creativity, and mental and physical capacity as the years unroll. Many have lamented that youth is wasted on the young, but now we have the opportunity to experience the exquisite combination of mature wisdom along with youthful biology. Through our interpretations and choices, we can increase both the quality and quantity of human life, adding both years to our life and life to our years. This should be our intention for the world and ourselves. We have access to Shangri-La in our own awareness. Modern physicists tell us that quantum mathematics predicts parallel coexisting realities. In the quantum world, there are no fixed objects, only superpositions of probability, oscillating fields of possibility. Shangri-La is one such possibility, a projection of consciousness that is beyond the limitations of time and space. The world of disease, decay, entropy, and premature death is another projection of consciousness that is currently our pervasive one. When reality shifts, both the observer and the observed change. The observer in one reality is quite different from the observer in another. If the observer does not change, neither does the observed. Here, the observed is the body, while the observer is your state of consciousness. Although focusing on the body through diet, exercise, and herbs can be helpful, the real shift has to be in consciousness. When you, the observer, shifts, your body also shifts, and your interpretation of your life transforms. One consequence of this transformation is the recognition that aging is a choice. According to Ayurveda, every human being is a weaving together of the environment, body, mind, and spirit. The environment has the shortest shelf life, for it is changing every moment. The body has a slightly longer shelf life. It takes about a year to replace almost all the atoms and molecules that comprise it. The mind, which includes the intellect and ego, has a still longer shelf life. Your aspirations, beliefs, dreams, memories, and desires may last an entire lifetime. Your soul is eternal and not subject to the entropy and decay that govern the environment, body, and mind. Live your life from the level of your soul and you will be timeless. This awareness will not do away with the essential fact of your physical mortality. The soul must have the opportunity to evolve and take quantum leaps in creativity. To live in the same body forever would be like getting stuck with the same automobile for eternity. At some point, the old must give rise to the new. The cycle must go on, as beautifully expressed in the Alfred Lord Tennyson poem. The old order changes, yielding place to new, and God fulfills himself in many ways, lest one good custom should corrupt the world. We have given you the tools to become a co-creator with God, to harness the evolutionary forces of imagination, inspiration, innovation, and creativity. There is immense power in these tools. We hope you will use them wisely and, by example, lead the way in helping to create a world of joy, wisdom, and vitality. This is Deepak Chopra. I hope you have enjoyed this production of Grow Younger, Live Longer. This program was produced and directed by Bob Walter. Executive producer, Sherry Huber. Abridgment by Virginia Noonan. Text copyright 2001 by Deepak Chopra, MD and David Simon, MD. Production copyright 2001, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.